different places. And I feel that Brother Randy has laid the groundwork for the sermon very, very good. I think the sermon title is going to be My Kingdom is Not of This World. And it comes right out of, Brother Andy took us to John 17, where Jesus was praying for you, for us as a church. He knew that we were going to be facing what we were going to be facing today. And I don't know how many of you like to pay attention to the news. I know some of you do, and I know some of you don't. But I think it is good as Christian people, as God's people, that we are aware of what is happening in the world around us. We should not be ones that just put our head in the sand and say, oh, so what? Because we do care what is going to be facing us as a church group. We do care what is happening in the political world. We do care. However, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And so our tendency is that we get ourselves all wrapped up into what's happening. And you know that my mind is going to the elections here in about a month. And we're going to have people going to the polls. And we have people that are saying you should vote. And you need to cast your vote because you need to make a difference in this world. I mean, you're godly people. You're good people. You are people of character. And you should be influencing. And what is your response to that? What is your response? It is true that we are godly people. We are people of values. We are people that love the Lord, and it changes our life. And yes, we have a different, but are we to get involved in the politics? And so that was my mindset for starting this sermon. But my mind kind of wandered, and I don't know if I preach a little disoriented. Maybe I'll make a disclaimer. I don't think preachers should make disclaimers, but I don't feel like I have a very well outlined sermon. My mind's just thinking about my kingdom is not of this world. That's my point. That Jesus put us here. Jesus has called us to live in this world. And yet we are not to be of this world. We are to have our mind set on a different kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. I mentioned that, have you been paying attention to the news? Have you been paying attention to world events? Have you been paying attention to what is happening in the world around us, especially to God's chosen people, Israel? Sunday school lesson said, it said that, I should go look at that verse, that God remembered his promise to Abraham. And his promise to Abraham was, as I am going to bless you, I'm going to multiply you, I'm never going to forget you. And if you, as my chosen people, call out to me, I will be your God. And I will guide you and I will direct you. And I would simply ask this question, when did that promise stop? We have people saying, Israel's just Israel. It's not a big deal. The war that's happening in Israel this morning is just no different than that's happening over in Russia and Ukraine. And I beg to differ with you. There may be some that feel that way, and we can still be brethren. But God is working in the nations right now. And he's shaping up events. And as God's people, we should be sitting back, paying attention, and seeing God. We shouldn't be fearful. But we should see God working and shaping the events for what's to come. God is just about done working with this generation, the church age. And there's going to be something else happening in the future. And as God's people, we should be alert. It's happening right before us. And a tendency is to sit back and say, oh, who cares? The Bible. What got me started on this train of thought was that Wednesday at prayer meeting, someone said, pray for the peace of Israel. Why didn't they say, pray for the peace of Ukraine? and it would have been a perfect prayer request. But throughout Scripture, more than once, it says, pray for the peace of Israel. Not just Old Testament. Old Testament and Psalms, it says clearly, it says, pray for the peace of Israel. May those who love you be secure. And absolutely, God's chosen people, that the prayer was is that God would be with his people. But we go into Romans, and we have brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. That's Romans 10:1. Why would the Apostle Paul care so much about his chosen people, the Israelites, that he would put it in our Holy Scriptures? And if he actually says that I care enough about it to pray about him, shouldn't we be praying for the peace of Israel? Because today it is still God's chosen people. Yes, they're ungodly. They are just as ungodly as any other nation, however, that's the apple of God's eye. And he is going to bring severe judgment upon his chosen people. But he's still working with them. Don't forget that. My kingdom is not of this world. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. We have Jesus being tempted of Satan in Luke chapter 4. It's a temptation in the wilderness. And we have in verse 5, and the devil taking him up into an high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. In today's language, he saw the great United States of America, so we say. They saw the great country of Russia. He saw the great country of China. He saw all the great kingdoms of the world. And he saw them at a glance. It says, in a moment of time, he saw them. That was a powerful view that Jesus saw. Can we wrap our mind around that? All the great armies, all the great strengths of the might of that time. And the devil said unto him, all power will I give thee, and all the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the thought that I wanted is the temptation was for Jesus to look at all that power. Now, we could argue it wasn't even Satan's to give to Jesus. But Jesus didn't argue with Satan. He just said, I'm not worried about the power. I'm not worried about power. Jesus said, what I'm concerned about is that I worship the true God. That I'm concerned about a life of worship. I'm not concerned about all power. And I just want to stop and think about all power. That's what we read about when we read about the news. We're concerned about who has all the power? What if Russia goes rogue? How much power do they have? And U.S. is extremely concerned about that. Israel and America is concerned about how much power does Iran have? Do they have all power? How many nuclear weapons do they have? That is the deciding factor in a world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of a world that's concerned about the power and the might and the prestige. In America, that's something that people look up to, that we're the great nation. We're not. But people think they are. They think they are because they are powerful. There's a lot of pride in the kingdom of this world. There's a lot of self, setting ourselves up. When I say ourselves, I'm talking about the kingdoms of this world. And when I live here, it's easy to say our kingdom, but it's not our kingdom. It's the kingdoms of this world. And say, it's their kingdom. We're not a part of that kingdom. However, in John 17, Jesus says, I've put you here and you need to live among the people. You need to live in the kingdom. We'll go back to that after a bit. But our nations are very concerned about who has the power. Who has the power? It's a conflict of interest. You have the kingdoms of this world and you have God's kingdom. That's what it is. And it's a setup of power play. It reminds me of playing chess. I don't know how many of you play chess. Could I see a raise of hands? Who's played chess? Who knows the game? About a quarter of us. Chess was a game we enjoyed playing at school. My upper grade school teacher loved chess. And so he taught us boys how to play chess. I love playing chess. And I thought maybe we could play a little chess this morning. I brought along my chess pieces. I was hoping maybe more of you understood the game. That maybe we could set up our empire here. I didn't bring my chessboard along, but you got your king, you have your queen, you have your pawns, you have your knights. How can I do this so you can see them? Can't forget your rook. Should be a bishop brother in here somewhere. There we go. So we're just going to set them up there. We've got an empire set up on this side. But then we have an opposing empire over here. We have another queen. You got to have your king. The pawns are just the workers. They go out and get the job done. And I kind of thought maybe I'd set them up on either side of the pulpit here because it's opposing forces. You have one side against the other. And it's a picture of life. We have opposing forces. And we have to make choices every day. How many pawns we got over there? They should be balanced, right? You ever try to play chess by yourself? Doesn't work very good. Because if I were to play this game, I would make a move. And I would decide that let's slide the knight up there. And then I'd have to go over here and I'd try to play two sides at one time. It doesn't work because I have to choose who's going to win. Life doesn't work that way. It's a battle between right and wrong, but against truth, Brother Randy. Thank you so much for that sermon or devotional. Truth, it's the deciding factor on which side you're on. You've got the evil forces over here. You've got the good forces here. This is the kingdom of the world over here. They have a desire for prestige and fame, and they're worried about power. That's what they're worried about. You've got the forces over here. And it says, my kingdom is not of this world. I'm concerned about truth. I'm concerned about honesty. I'm concerned about a separated life. And you have to make choices in your chess game. Chess is a game of strategy. And so you look at the other side and you try to watch your opponent. And you try to figure out how they're going to play. And so they come over here and they slide their button forward. And then you make a move. And they make a move. And they make a dumb move. Now, I suppose, as godly people, we are sympathetic. But in the real world, a dumb move will cost you your life. And there's nothing more than Satan wants. This force of power over here, they want you to make a dumb move because they're going to take you out. And they'll take you off the table. And there's nothing more that's fun when you're playing with someone and your opponent slips up and they open the door and you just move in and take off the buttons. That's why you play the game. You play the game to win. But we know what winning, we know who's going to win, right? God, the forces of God in his kingdom is going to last forever. We know that Satan and his forces and the forces of this world are going to be destroyed. They cannot last. They're a shame. They're a sham. They won't last. All they think they have all power. But you can go into the book of Revelation and you see where the winning forces is going to come out of. Okay? Two kingdoms. Let's go to Luke 16. You were at Luke 4. Let's go to Luke 16. Luke 16, we have a very familiar verse. In verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We always try to think that that word mammon is money. Let's use the word things that you highly appreciate. Things that are of value in your life. You cannot serve God and value other things. That's what that verse is saying. You can't try to play chess by yourself. You can't be on two sides at one time. I either have to decide that this team's going to win, this one's going to lose, or this one's going to win and that one's going to lose. You have to decide which kingdom you want to be a part of. You have to choose to be a part of God's kingdom. It's so simple. But yet, in reality, people try to put a foot in both camps. They try to say, oh yeah, we're a Christian. We love the Lord. And yet, when it comes to things of this world, we get ourselves all riled up. We start to care so much about the political fray. And you press the right buttons in someone's life, and they begin to tell you everything that's wrong and who's running for office. And wait a minute. Which kingdom are you on? Are you in God's kingdom, or are you in the kingdom of this world? You can't serve God and try to fit in the kingdoms of this world. There's only one winner. The rest are losers. Turn with me to John 18. John 18 is the story of Christ before Pilate. In verse 35, we have Pilate saying, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Here's where I have the title for this morning. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said, what is truth? We live in a world where that question is starting to become more and more prevalent. What is truth? What am I even to believe? And I just, again, want to put a word of caution that we are very careful where we receive our news and what we are believing. There is so much twisted news. Twisted to make us, to make us go to one side or the other. And as our brother said this morning, it's been an age-old problem. What is truth? What am I to believe? Who's telling it right? There is only one way, and that is the word of Jesus Christ. You can go to the truth. And the word of God is what we need to base our lives on. Truth. It is a mark of Christianity. Of people that are truthful. Such stark contrast to the political world of make up a story to fit the situation. That's not God's people. God's people are truthful. Jesus is wanting us to focus on truth. We have Pilate saying, "Are you a king? You're a king of the Jews?" And he says, "You're trying to say I am. I didn't come here to be a king of the Jews. I came here to bring people truth." So this morning we have truth. It's stark contrast. We have our kingdoms, our little chess set up here. Kingdoms of this world, we said the characteristics of that kingdom was power, all power, glory, selfishness, pride. You go over to this kingdom, the kingdom of God. And we could say, what's the characteristics of the kingdom of God? Well, one is truth. There's truth here. It's something that you can believe. There's love there. There's obedience there. Obedience to the master. Honesty. We should be willing to follow truth at all cost. It's more than a belief system. Sometimes we say, well, that's what I believe. And if you were to go into a juror and try to explain your reason, you could say, why? I don't believe in it. Well, what do you believe in? The world has a lot of belief systems too. But can we go back to the scriptures and say, I am grounded on truth? This is what the scripture says. Turn with me to Philippians 2. We're still laying the groundwork for the kingdoms of this world, how we are not to be a part of it. Philippians 2, verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I want the thought of that we are to shine as lights in a dark world. You got this kingdom of darkness over here. That's why I chose the dark ones, to call them the kingdom of darkness. They think they've got it, but they don't. They're a kingdom of darkness. And God has given us the ability to shine as lights, letting our light shine in a dark world. I wonder how many of you noticed that our trademark to this church was gone this morning. You can't hardly miss it, right? It's a shame. It's my understanding somebody backed into it and it fell over. But I trust that that is not, I trust that that cannot be said of this congregation, that we lost our light. Because if we lost our light, our spiritual light, we're no different than this dark and perverse nation. A trademark of God's kingdom are people that are shining as lights in a dark world. And I like that lighthouse out there. Maybe many of you wondered why it was there. But there was a group of men from the past, I don't know why, that thought that lighthouse would have been a signal, would have been a sign of what this building should be. It was to be a lighthouse in the Franklin County area, a lighthouse of God's greatness and of his goodness. And so they built a lighthouse out there. It was built as a way to connect with the community, to bring the youth in. It's why it's a gym. And we just kind of said, well, it's always been out there. Who cares? Well, it was an old landmark, wasn't it? But I liked it because it was a sign of who we were to be. And I trust that we don't stop letting our light shine in a world. You know that you can't hide a light very good, can you? Light just shines out. It don't take much of a light to know that there's a light on somewhere. You go to bed at night and you say, wait a minute, the lights are on outside. How did you know? Well, you could see the light shining through the windows. You make it practical in your life. You can't hide light. Just a little bit, and it makes a difference. And so it is in our communities. A little bit of light, a little bit of a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ can make a difference in our families, in our community, the people we relate with. Men, a lot of us relate to salesmen. And you learn to know your salesmen pretty well. Or maybe they learn to know you really good. You know what political mindset they are of. And I often wondered how much my salesman knows my political mindset. I know what to say to get him riled up, But I wonder if he knows what to say to get me riled up. Am I letting my light shine, or am I being a dark, knocked over lighthouse in a dark world, just blending in with the system? It's a question. We're on different sides. And this morning, God is saying, my kingdom is not of this world. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know that's one of my favorite scriptures in Romans. But we need a mind change, don't we? We need Christ in our life. And as Christ fills our minds a new mind, it changes the way we relate to people. It changes the way we let our light shine. It changes which camp we're on. First John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. We're talking about this camp over here. We're talking about this world, the world that we live in. The greed, the fame, all the things that are part of this camp. It's going to pass away. But this kingdom, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's people will live forever. Which kingdom do you want to be a part of this morning? So, why don't we vote? We are known as a people that stay politically uninvolved. And so people say, so you don't vote. What is your answer to them? Can you give a clear word of testimony about we are of a different kingdom? And does your life show it? And does your life prove it? We could go to Matthew 5. We could go back to the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was saying, this is how you were used to it. In the Old Testament, you were to be politically involved. You were to get engaged in the army. You were to serve. You were to go out and fight. But I say unto you, Jesus came to start a new kingdom. And too many people want to go to the Old Testament and they say, well, God's chosen people went out and they fought. They went out and fought because it was for a righteous cause. And that is true. That's what God wanted them to do. It's a different dispensation. Today we live in a different dispensation. And that's why Jesus says, it was said of them of old time, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. It was a total new teaching. And it sounded strange to them. And Jesus said, but I say, it was said of them of old time, hate your enemies. Hit them. Hit them and do it. Get them. Get them before they get you. But I say unto you that you love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despise you and use you and say wrong things against you and treat you ugly. It was a different teaching. That teaching is still for us today. God is calling us to separate ourselves out. John 16. I'm going to read some verses from John 16. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Spirit of truth is come, and it makes all the difference in the life of a believer. It was a radical change from what they were used to. But that radical change has went with us throughout the generations. And today we find ourselves still claiming these promises of Jesus and trying to live them out and to make them practical. A teaching that says, my kingdom is not as of this world. There's many other verses we could go to, but I'd just like to look at a few practical points that guide my voting process this morning. Number one is, if we believe in the two kingdom principle, and I think we do, we understand there's kingdom one, there's kingdom two. We understand it's the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God. If we believe in a two kingdom principle, then any group, leader, or organization that is not a part of God's kingdom is naturally a part of the kingdom of this world, Satan's kingdom. Long point. But if it's not a part of this, of God's kingdom, then it's naturally a part of the kingdom of this world. How are we to try to vote when it's a kingdom of this world? It's too separate. We talked about we can't have a foot in both camps. We can't try to serve God and we can't try to please men. There is no such thing as a Christian nation. We try to, in our minds, we try to think that our country is better than any other country out there. But in God's eyes, the United States of America is no different than Iran. It's no different than Japan. Now, you put it in there. There's only two kingdoms, God's kingdom and the earthly kingdom. We could go to Ephesians. Ephesians 2, it talks about where in time past he walked according to the course of this world. It means we were all over here. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And it goes on and talks about how he has called us out, how we left that kingdom and we have went to God's kingdom. Philippians 3:20 talks about our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation is not what we say, but it's our way of living. It's our life, our lifestyle. Our lifestyle is focused on the kingdom of heaven. We have the old song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Maybe it's an old gospel song. And I wonder, can you tell from your lifestyle that that's true? Do your neighbors look at you and say, well, they are a separated people. They are looking forward to an eternal home. They're not involved with this political fray. Their focus is somewhere else. Can they tell that this world is not my home? I'm just passing through. My treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Ephesians 6:20 says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And we know what an ambassador is. It's someone that represents their country. They don't live in their country. They're just an ambassador. And so each country, United States, have ambassadors all around the world representing the United States. This morning, each one of us are an ambassador for our kingdom. We are here representing the kingdom of God. We're not home yet, brothers. God hasn't called us to our eternal reward, but he has placed us on this earth. And so we continue to live life as an ambassador. They live there, but they know that they are not a citizen. They know they can't vote. They know they are just an ambassador. They are there to talk about their country. Everyone that sees an ambassador knows that they are not a citizen. If we had an ambassador from Russia this morning in our midst, we would know they were not American, they're Russian. We would know that he's an ambassador. If he talked strongly for his country, we would understand that because he supports his country. He's excited about his country. That's what an ambassador is. Someone that represents, someone that supports, someone that, try my country. We've got the best. If you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ this morning, you are going to be quick to point people to Jesus Christ. Not get involved in the things of this world. So many times we find ourselves feeding on news and news clips and things that really aren't even true. It could be gossip. And then we allow it to infiltrate our minds. And we begin to talk about the things that we see and that we hear, and we become involved in a foreign world. And we lose our ambassador status. Hebrews 11 talks about that we're strangers and pilgrims in this world, earth. These all died in faith, not having received a promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek another country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I want to be on the winning team. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God that's going to last forever. Oh, it creates some problems, doesn't it? To live on this earth, to live in a country, to be an ambassador, to really not be a part of it. But let us never try to settle in. But always remember, our kingdom is not of this world. My last point that I want to make is God's people have a higher calling that we need to fulfill. We have a higher calling to pray instead of voting. And you know, but it's worth saying again, that we vote on our knees. We are going to vote, aren't we? We are going to vote, but not in the way this world thinks. No, we're not going to the polls, but we're going to go to our Heavenly Father that can do something for us. He is the King Supreme. He's the one that can change the hearts of men. He can move this country, this community, to put the leader in place that is going to be for his purpose and his choosing. Let us never lose sight of that, of God working behind the scenes in the hearts of men. Oh, we have people that want to stand up and give a political speech. We're all concerned about the polls. Who's ahead? Who's gaining a few points? Who lost a few points? But don't forget God. Don't forget that it's God behind the scenes working out for his people, for his kingdom's benefit. Timothy 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. We have a high calling this morning to seek the face of our Heavenly Father, not to get involved in a political scene, not to read every news article that you can find, but read enough to know what's happening and then take it to God and move the heart of God. It's an incredible thing how you can pray and you can, God can touch hearts all around the world. God can touch the hearts over in Israel, over in Iran, over in Russia, in Ukraine, in Japan, all over the world because of your prayers. You have a tremendous power at your fingertips. Are we using it? Are we spending extra time through this political season in seeking the face of God and allowing him to move in our country? Let's kneel for a word of prayer.